This week on Fresh Ubuntu, Hardy Heron approaches beta status, Wine to be reaching 1.0, Ubuntu brainstorms most popular ideas this week, a focus on Inkscape, a man page minute, and your listener feedback. All this week on Fresh Ubuntu. Welcome back to Fresh Ubuntu. I am your host, Peter, and with me, trading places today, my co-host, Harlem.
Hello, hello.
Yeah, so I'm in Oregon this week.
I'm in Vermont.
Yeah, okay, cool. How's the weather out there, Harlem?
It's a little bit chilly, I think. I haven't been out in a while.
Oh, as you can probably tell, we decided to mix things up a little bit. Yes, Harlem gave me the reins, and I'm just drunk with the power trip that I'm on right now.
Drunk. So. People are going to wonder what kind of medication you're taking.
I'm actually just drinking hot chocolate, but it's got coffee in it, too. So it's kind of like I'm on a caffeine chocolate sugar high at the moment, I guess.
So. Those are the best.
So how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great. I'm doing just fine. And you're doing a great job, you know, with the reins. And I'm just going to sit back and enjoy myself.
Awesome. All right. Well, I suppose we should probably get started with the news, eh?
Yep. So.
All right. Why don't you lead off? Because I think you had the most important and the coolest news of the week.
Yes. Okay. Let me pull up my browser. The first news item that we have this week is that Ubuntu 8.04 is going into a beta freeze. Now, Hardy Heron, Ubuntu 8.04 is a long-term support release, and it's by the time you hear this podcast, it'll be pretty close to the beta release. So everything that is approved from here on out must be approved by a member of the release team, which really doesn't have a whole lot to do with us as users. But just to let you know the protocol on how these things get released, it gets to a beta freeze, and all the things that need to get into the final release of Ubuntu must be approved by someone on the release team, and that way they can keep that quality control issues to a minimum. So from here on out, I believe, is going to be the beta freeze, and pretty soon we'll have Ubuntu. I think it's on either the 18th or the 28th of April. I'm kind of getting mixed signals here.
You might be right. I think the beta freeze kicks in as of today, and the beta is due out a week from today. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Yep, and then sometime in the end of April, we get 8.04. So.
Yep, looking forward to that.
Now, remind me, have you been running the alpha on any of your machines?
No, I haven't been running the alpha. I'm just too afraid to do that. And the one laptop that I do most of my testing on just died late last night. And I think I posted it on Twitter. But it was about 6 years old before it kicked the bucket. And, you know, those things are measured in dog years. So it's it's had a long life, you know. So that's about 4 or 5... Moore's law cycles, right?
Right. No, it did just fine.
Yeah, it did great.
Yeah, I've got the alpha running on one of my notebooks, one of my older machines, and I've had, you know, hit and miss luck with it. I've been trying a few of the alphas, and right now I have alpha 6 running, and it actually seems fairly stable. It did some weirdness after I did the latest round of updates yesterday. It, you know, like dropped to a command prompt and the whole UI crashed and stuff, but I rebooted and everything was fine again.
Cool.
So, you know, it's got some quirky alpha-like behavior, which shouldn't surprise me.
Right. But what I'm really interested in is the addition of Pulse Audio as the default sound mixer.
Mm-hmm.
Are you having any issues with that yet, or is everything okay?
Well, to be honest, I think most of the time I've had the sound turned off, so I haven't even noticed. I haven't done a lot of that. We'll probably talk about this next week, but what I did mostly this week, I was running Linux Mint on my main desktop. So I was paying more attention to how that acts than how the alpha of Hardy acts. So.
Well, Well, I look forward to that conversation next week because I'm also going to be putting it on one of my machines here. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Good luck.
All right.
Next news item we have is that apparently SE Linux is now available in Hardy Heron. And since we do focus mostly on the new Ubuntu user here, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on SE Linux, but basically it is an alternative to the AppArmor policy framework, which is included by default as of Gutsy. So this is just another way that if you want to lock down your systems and keep programs from running crazy on your box, you can use SE Linux now instead of AppArmor. I think that's kind of interesting. I don't know if this is going to be like an officially supported thing or if it's just, now it's available. But I do know that like Red Hat, for instance, defaults to SE Linux for their security policy framework. And I'm pretty sure that Novell SUSE Enterprise was using AppArmor and a couple of others. So it's usually one or the other, but now you get to have your pick.
Well, yeah, I think that's the whole key here is that I think they're offering us, choice instead of, defaulting to a single security measure. So that's a good addition. I couldn't tell you one way or the other if they were going to place it as the default. But again, we have another choice and looks pretty good. We'll have these links, of course, at freshubuntu.org in the show notes.
Of course. Next article we have is related to ours and I guess our listeners' new favorite tech toy, the Asus EPC.
And it's everywhere.
I found this article on desktoplinux.com, which responded to an eWeek article. And the headline of the eWeek article was Windows XP will fill 2/3 of the Asus Tech EPCs. And I, like the author, thought that was interesting because basically what that means is that 1/3 of those Asus EPCs are going to be running Linux.
That's right.
And I think that's just wonderful. So it was pretty funny. The other thing that I found is really funny is these Asus PCs, they're going to be selling, they're going to be shipping with XP. But as we all know, XP, they're going to stop selling that in June. So what does that mean? I mean, are these companies, are they like stocking up so they're going to have like hundreds and thousands of XP licenses so they can keep selling it? Because we sure know that they're not going to be able to run Vista. I'm just wondering what happens when XP, when Microsoft stops shipping it, are we going to have like 2/3 machines running Linux and, the XP margin just starts to dwindle or what's going to happen there?
Yeah, that is going to be interesting to find out. Although they just released SP3, I think, last Tuesday or something like that. So they may stop selling XP, in the middle of the summer, but people will still be able to, I believe, still get updates.
Service Pack 3 hasn't come out yet. Vista Service Pack 1 is out, but I'm pretty sure that Service Pack 3, I guess allegedly it's coming out next week.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, I did hear, yeah, you're right. SP1 for Vista came out because my other partition on here is a Vista partition, and it downloaded 66 megabytes of the Service Pack, so... Just on a side note, with SP1 for Vista, I don't notice a whole lot of difference, although it does shut down much more quicker than it used to. So, just a side note.
Okay. So, they've figured out how to shut down the operating system. That's good to be able to do.
It's a step in the right direction.
Hey, if it takes you a revision or two to figure out how to power down, okay, that's cool. Take your time, Microsoft. We know you got a lot of catching up to do.
Well, yeah, they have been taking their time. that's the thing. I think that's their downfall is that it took them so long to get Vista out and, whatever. That's a whole other podcast in and of itself. So.
Yeah, when are we going to start that podcast, the Slam Microsoft podcast? Because I'm really itching to go.
I don't like to slam Microsoft. I've used their products, and it's for the most part, I think it's a decent operating system, although I do think Ubuntu is, a much better or an equal operating system, but, I don't know. We should start another podcast.
Well, on that note, we have another news article on that very same topic, actually, from PC Magazine this week. It actually came out a little over a month ago, but it just came across my desk. It's called The OS Wars, The Battle for Your Desktop. And it's actually a nice little review of macOS 10.5, Windows XP Service Pack 2, Vista, and Gutsy Gibbon. And it was pretty good. They went through and they compare lots of different factors of running the OS, from the user interface to software availability, how easy it is to install on your machine, and other things like that. So if you want to see what other people, quote-unquote professionals in this industry, think of Vista versus OS X and Ubuntu, then go check it out.
Why would you want a professional opinion when you can have open source legend opinion here?
Well, because you may want someone who's a little bit less biased, because as we know, I am the pulse of Ubuntu, and so therefore I have some predispositions, I think.
Very well then. Okay, next up on the batting order here is the Wine release. If you head over to the wiki.winehq.org. /wine release plan. They have in their future, in the very near future, Wine 1.0.0 coming out in the June of 08 this year. And that's what it's been, what, 15 years now?
Mm-hmm. July 1993.
That's right. 15 years since the inception of Wine. And suddenly we have 1.0.0. And then 1.1.0 will be shortly thereafter on the 20th.
Suddenly? 15 years go by and suddenly we have 1.0. Oh, yes, but the question is, will there be a quick and easy stock way to get my World of Warcraft working under it?
Well, you'll be the first to tell us, right?
I absolutely will.
That's going to make a good podcast, by the way. Once you get that up and running, we got to get that out and let the world know about it.
I will. We've got some feedback on that later up in the show, so we'll talk about that. So. Cool. But first, our next news item is just a little side note that the good folks over at revision3.com, this week their episode covers, among other things, how to install Ubuntu.
Right.
So if you're looking for a good quality video cast of how to do the operating system install, they walk you right through it. And I didn't watch the whole thing, but it did appear as if they were doing an alternative install, because I saw some flashes. And, it looked like the text mode installation. So, it's still pretty straightforward. So, yep.
I haven't seen the episode, by the way, but I do have the website up and running. And I believe it's the show called Techzilla from Revision 3. And I've watched it a couple of times. I'm not a huge, huge fan of this video cast, but nevertheless, it's up there. They, among other things, they install Linux and they find lost cameras and blah, 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 blah. But, for those of you who are sort of Linux veterans who have installed Linux on several machines, you could also find a good laugh in there, or two, maybe. So.
Hey, sometimes it's good, though, I get a kick out of sometimes, intro things. You never know. Sometimes they may cover something, they do something a little differently than I've done, or, who knows.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I shouldn't be so quick to downplay it, but...
Again,
it's our turf, man.
We can downplay whatever we want.
Yeah, that's right.
On
a sad note, this past week, our sci-fi guru Arthur C. Clarke dies at 90, known for the epic story 2001 and tech predictions, of course. Arthur C. Clarke died in Sri Lanka, Colombo, Sri Lanka, on Wednesday, March 19th. And we are sorry to hear that. And geeks around the world are collectively in mourning. And of course, he wrote the book that became a movie. 2001: A Space Odyssey. He wrote that in 1968. And of course, the great director Stanley Kubrick directed that show, or directed that movie. Mm-hmm. And again, just on a sad note. And we are sorry to have one of the great science fiction writers and utopian type of guys. I don't know if it was a utopian, but definitely a forward-thinking author.
Yeah, I'd say forward-thinking more than utopian in his case.
Yep. So, dead at the age of 90.
All right. And I think that pretty much wraps it up for the news for this week. So this week, Harlan thought it'd be a good idea if we did a software spotlight, and we're going to talk a little bit to you about Inkscape, right?
Yep, Inkscape. And the reason why is because I've been trying to get this logo up and running, and I have sort of an idea of what I'm doing, but I have been using Inkscape, which is an excellent, excellent vector graphics editor application. And this is reading straight from the wiki. Its stated goal is to become a powerful graphic tool, being fully compliant with the XML and SVG CSS standards. So I guess it's been developed for primarily Linux, but then they are also running it on Mac OS X, under X11, mind you, and also under Microsoft Windows, which is kind of nice because I use both interchangeably lately. So if I'm using it on under Linux, I can just reach into my home partition and pull up an SVG file, and I can do the same under Windows into that same partition. So Inkscape is a wonderful program, again, a vector graphics program, and I guess you could call it an alternative to Adobe Illustrator.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you, was for the folks coming over from the Windows side, what is this most like? What might they be used to? So it's like Illustrator.
Right, exactly, and it's a beautiful, beautiful program. And like I said, I've been using it to get our logo up and running. And, not much more I can say about it other than you can check out their website at www.inkscape.org. And if you wish to install it, it is in the repos, in the Ubuntu repos. You can just issue the command sudo apt-get install Inkscape. And while you're at it, I just want to highlight this one particular feature that they have. It's called the perspective feature, which is a beautiful, beautiful little effect that they have. It'll give things perspective, you know, like if you're looking up at something or looking from far away and that kind of thing. You artist types know what perspective is, so I'll let you play around with that. However, it didn't work so well under Linux, and the reason why is because you have to also install NumPy, Python-NumPy, N-U-M-P-Y, and that's some type of script that it needs to run the perspective effect. So, beautiful program. I am getting more and more used to it, and then now I'm gonna have to convince my wife I need one of those Wacom tablets. So but anyway, Inkscape, wonderful program, beautiful program, Inkscape. And I'll have the links in the show notes, and also a very interesting couple of interesting YouTube videos for it too, just to show it off.
Cool.
And that is going to do it for my package highlight this week.
When it's all gone, something's hard and wrong, and it's not more at all, just when nature's hard enough for you. When my blood stops, someone else will know.
Returning, as promised, our weekly feature is we're going to talk about the Ubuntu Brainstorm and cover the most popular ideas this week. You may remember that the Ubuntu Brainstorm, it's over at brainstorm.ubuntu.com. And what this is a dig-style submission for repository, if you will, right, for users or fans of Ubuntu to contribute what they think the most popular, or well, no, you don't know what you think is most popular, most important features that you'd like to see in upcoming Ubuntu releases. So what do we have going on there this week, Harlan? What's big?
Well, we have a couple of things. It says up here in the top two, one of the top two is add a startup manager, a.k.a. a grub configuration editor, etc., as default to the distro. And this is seems like to be a good idea. Reading from their site, it says unexperienced Ubuntu Linux users will have Ubuntu started automatically on their dual PC. Startup manager is a GUI for Grub and listed in Synaptic, which even can be used by non-experienced users. So they want that as part of the distro. Now, a lot of it is learning how to get your Grub configuration to just go ahead and default to Ubuntu or whatever partition you want it to do. It doesn't take a whole lot of time to learn it. But then again, you could also download this Startup Manager GUI. A couple of other things is to add a GUI for Pulse Audio. That's getting a lot of votes this week, 207, in fact. And not entirely. I'm really looking forward to using Pulse Audio. I want to see how it works with my hardware and that kind of thing. But I find it hard to believe that it doesn't have a GUI. So that, I think, would be a good idea to have. And basically, you know, a lot of the other, you know, I think that's pretty much it for this week. The top two, in my opinion. So.
Yep, I'm going to submit my own, I've decided.
Yeah.
I am going to make the, I've been looking and I don't see anybody else who has submitted this, but I'm going to submit that the default option for partitioning your drive when you're installing, which is now guided use entire disk, that should not be the default option.
That's a good idea.
You know, if you're generally assuming that people have an operating system already, you know, it's a little too guerrilla warfare to go right in and just, you know, by default, wipe out everything else that's on your machine.
Yep.
And replace it. It's just not a good idea. Even if, you know, you anti-Windows zealots out there who say that, you know, we should wipe it all out. That's fine. That's fine. Wipe out Windows. But what about your documents, right? You don't want to lose your docs, your photos, your MP3 files, your movies, and all those other things.
Good idea. So you should put that on there right now.
I actually have typed it already. I just haven't decided exactly how I want to word the whole thing. So, but that's going to be there. So
I would vote on it too.
I was just going to say, once we submit that, you know, maybe our listeners can, you know, show me a little feedback, love, by bumping that idea up.
Absolutely.
If of course you agree with that. I mean, if you're one of those people who wants to see guided use entire disk there and, you know, stay on top and blowing away people's partitions, you know, vote it down.
And what's your screen name, or do you have a
Nicolaitis.
Just Nicolaitis, okay.
It's Nicolaitis, yep.
Okay. Nikolaidis.
You got it. You learned from last week's episode, right?
That's right.
Nicola. You know what's funny is we didn't get any feedback about that.
Yes, you did.
I did we get any about that? That specifically about the outro there?
I thought we did. Well, we'll find out. I think I may have gotten a Twitter from it or a tweet from it or something.
Oh, maybe we did. Okay. Yeah. Well, I didn't get any emails. I thought at least we'd get an email on it, but maybe I'm asking too much. Who knows?
Yes, you are.
So, well, speaking of which, maybe we should move on to feedback.
Yep, absolutely. Let's get
to... Should we do a man page minute first?
Why don't you introduce a man page minute, and then we'll after that we can get onto the user feedback.
Why don't we do that? I think it's now time to take a break and have a man page minute.
And what are we doing this week?
I think we're going to make something.
Ah, okay. Got it.
Welcome to the Man Page Minute. This week we're covering the make directory command, mkdir. I figured it was time that we started actually making stuff since we've been spending the last few weeks deleting things and destroying. So make directory, as the name implies, makes directories or folders. It's pretty straightforward. It's generally make directory or mkdir space any options space the name of the directory you want to make. So, for instance, if you are sitting in your desktop directory and you want to make a folder to download some files into, you could type mkdir space new folder. And I just say new folder like quickly to imply it's one word. I'm not going to get into spaces and file names right now. If you wanted to make several directories deep, for instance, you wanted to make a folder called a and then under that a folder called B, and then under that folder called C. What you could do is say mkdir space dash P for parents space A/B/C. And what that will do is make three directories. It makes A, and then under that it makes B, and then under that it makes C. So this is something that's not easily done in a graphical user interface that you can do from a command line, make three directories all at once. If you want to get a verbose listing of what it's doing, as usual, you can use the dash V option. And as with other commands that we've covered in the past, you can always specify the absolute path as to where you want to make the directory. So for instance, if you have a USB stick mounted under /media/USB, and you are in your home directory, you can make a new folder on your USB stick by saying mkdir /media/USB/new folder. So that will make a new directory or a new folder in the directory that you specify. That's pretty much it for the make directory command. Until next week, have fun organizing your stuff and putting things in folders.
And we're back.
Awesome. And now you know how to create as well as destroy.
Power of the command line.
Don't underestimate the power of the command line.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. So, how about some feedback? I think that people are starting to get the idea that we really like feedback because we're getting feedback.
We're getting tons of feedback, and we love it. Whether we get it from the web call button on freshubuntu.org, or whether we get an email or even a tweet, we'll take it. We'll take anything that we can get.
We love them.
Yep. So what do you want to go first?
I don't know. I was going to say, so where should we start? Man, I don't know. This is we got all kinds of stuff here.
Okay, let me start. I got something from last week in response to one of our last news items last week. So this one is from Jeff. And he was talking about the EverX PC not being sold at Walmart. And he states about Walmart discontinuing the $200 PC. He says, I had assumed the PC would be sold with Windows, since most PCs are, and never thought twice about it. It was only after listening to a few podcasts, I'm assuming that's a few of ours, right, that I found out that it was sold with Linux. So I heard Walmart was selling out of these units. And they were selling these things like, you know, hotcakes, right? And so yep. I was pretty sure most of the buyers were going to have a big surprise, and the announcement the other day from Walmart pretty much said just that. Yes, they sold out of PCs, but many were returned. I just don't think many people are ready or willing to make the switch to Linux, even if the operating system is pre-installed. Even Asus said of the EEE PC, which has been such a success, that they predict the Windows version will outsell the Linux version 6-4. And I've seen this with those people. I've gotten to try Linux. Most tinker with it from time to time, but they won't give up Windows.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. And, yeah. You know, that it does make sense. I don't think that that's a huge surprise. And I can see people rushing into the store and just seeing the price tag and, you know, running home and then trying to install, you know, whatever, you know, insert Windows program here and not having it work and then getting all fed up and running back to the store.
Right. What I think is necessary at this point is that so many people are so unfamiliar with how Linux works, with how repositories works, and with getting various applications, programs, whatnot onto your Asus or under a Linux PC that they need to be, their hands need to be held. So they need that, what they used to put on old Windows machines is an introduction to using your new computer.
Yeah, I know. That's one of the things that they were talking about in last month's Linux Journal magazine. They talked about, they interviewed the founder of the GOS and the operating system. And he was talking about how they were happy that with their partnership with EverX, they were able to offer 24/7 technical support But still, I think application compatibility is the big thing there, because if you get the machine home and it starts and it runs and, you know, does what you need it to do, then who cares what the underlying OS is?
Right.
My dad's still running his, and he's perfectly happy with it. Does everything he needs. He gets his email. He gets on eBay. He can play some music, and he can print. You know, that's it. He's happy.
I can see your point, and it's absolutely valid point. And, you know, a lot of people are just not willing to give up whatever program that they don't want to give up, whether it be Microsoft Office or iTunes or Quicken or whatever. Yep. So, yep, I can see that. So,
all right.
Anything for us?
Well, the next thing I got, the next feedback I got was just as we were finishing up recording last week, I got an email, and the subject line is "For Peter." Mm-hmm. The message says, as you can see by the subject of this message is for Peter. Anyway, now you can say you got one more message from a fresh Ubuntu listener, Scott. And, of course, that was from my friend Scott McGrath.
Way to go, Scott.
Can we pause for 1 second?
Yep.
Sorry, Wade just handed me a memo. I need to see what this is. I think it's maybe an urgent claim.
We are recording.
We are recording. All right, what else did you get?
Okay, I got something from Jason. He says, hello, that is funny. I use an exercise ball in the office in at work. I basically destroyed my back in the Army, so chiropractors and backaches are way too common. The ball has been really good for me and my posture. And I think he was talking about last week, you were standing up or something.
Yes. And you know what's really funny is this week I am, to quote, let's see, 2 days ago, I opened up Twitter. First thing, I got in the office, I fired up Twitter, and the first tweet that caught my eye was from our friend Kyle Skrinek. And Kyle says, I am on the ball today, literally, and he had a link. And I said, I wonder, and I click on it, and sure enough, he is, you know, he got one of these giant exercise balls. Well, the thing that's really funny is I had a 75 millimeter ball, and it was too short. And I looked at this model that he got, the Dura Ball brand ball. The thing, I think it's rated for something crazy like 1,100 pounds of pressure or something like that. So it's like guaranteed not to explode. That caught my eye because 3 nights ago, I show up at home and I found my ball at home in like, you know, deflated. And it had like a 2-foot gash in the thing. As near as we can tell, it just exploded, which... I was just glad that I wasn't sitting on the thing when it did, because yeah, we didn't, you know, like the door was unlocked and everything, but it's not like somebody came in and took a samurai sword to the ball and sliced it up, but it just completely blew. So I had to get something else. So then Kyle tweeted that he got this thing, this Dura Ball, which is rated for like half ton of weight.
Right.
So I couldn't resist and I got it. But the neat thing is that this one comes in 85 centimeters, 10 centimeters bigger than the previous one. And this is the perfect height for me to sit at my desk. So today I am on the ball again.
Excellent. And it's working just fine.
It's working fine. It's got the right height to it and it's comfortable. And, you know, there you go.
Well, not
smells
many...
a little funny, but, you know, but it works.
Not many people know this, but I used to be a personal trainer down in Southern California, and we used the ball all the time for a lot of things, and it does do wonders for your core muscles. And you know, anyway, I'm glad you got it. I've been thinking I need a new one, but I've got about two or three of them around the house, and I think one of them's deflated, but the other two are just fine. And anyway.
Well, I've got this one, and I have the one that's made into an office chair, but that's really too small for me.
Uh-huh.
I would have more, except a couple of years ago, my stepson was running around and then ran into my office, and then I heard a popping sound, and I was like, what happened? And he said, oh, it just exploded. I don't know what happened. And then I found that he was poking it with my screwdriver.
I don't know what happened.
I don't know what happened. So six, 7 months later, he fessed up to it. We had a good laugh.
So, all right. I got an email here from Mark. I think I sent this. I forwarded this to you as well. But he says, thank you. The excellent format, the content, the production quality, and the music in Fresh Ubuntu kept me hooked even after I gave up on Linux with my P3 notebook. I tried many lightweight distros like Flux and Zubuntu, but I couldn't get the Raylink wireless working. Compile and configure, howling at the moon, nothing worked. And through your gutsy coverage, I learned that the network backend differed between the variants. So I tried regular Gutsy and bang, I'm in. It's slow, but in. So I'm sitting here thinking, if it wasn't for Harlem's musical taste, I'd still be with Brand M. You rock. Well, yes, we do rock, Mark. And you're right.
Yes, yes. Thanks for pointing out the obvious, but we'll take it.
Open source legends. Pulse of Ubuntu. And
rockers.
We rock.
We rock. Awesome.
That's great. You know, thanks a lot, Mark. We appreciate that. We try to put our best foot forward as much as we possibly can, and we work real hard to get out some quality content and production value out of this. So thanks for letting us know, and we appreciate that, and I hope you have good luck and continued success with each successive release. So thanks for writing us, Mark.
I also got an email from Jonathan Nadeau. Nadeau? Nadeau? What do you think?
I'm thinking Nadeau.
I'll go with you on that. Okay. I said, hello, Peter. I heard you are trying to play Warcraft on Ubuntu. I found a company called Sedega where you can play Windows games on Linux. Thought I would let you know, and I wasn't sure if you knew of this company. I'm a new Ubuntu user, and I love it. I also want to let you know that I love the show. Keep up the work. Thank you, Jonathan. Yes, I have heard of Sedega. I heard about that from Chris on the Linux Action Show, and I think he uses Sedega to play World of Warcraft. I don't remember if I have tried it, because I think, if I remember correctly, I think Sedega is one of those subscription games where you pay every month to play. And I don't know. I mean, I think I was just like morally or whatever, you know, I was opposed to paying yet another subscription to World of Warcraft, you know, on top of the $15 a month or so that you have to pay already. Yeah. I don't remember exactly, but I have heard of it. I have not tried it, but maybe I will. Maybe that way I can just complain to somebody else and they can fix all my video problems for me. Who knows? I have tried, you know, the regular Wine install. I have tried Wine Doors, using that for the installation. I have tried downloading a copy of Crossover Linux from CodeWeavers. And so far, the best luck I've actually had is just doing the straightforward installation under Wine and then tweaking some of the config files manually. But even then, the graphics are just horrible. You know, like four colors and really, really, really choppy and choppy sound and stuff. And I just haven't ironed out all those problems yet.
Yeah.
So, but thank you very much for the email, Jonathan.
Yeah. He also emailed me, too, about something as well. Let me see here. He says, hello, Harlem. I know you were looking for something to replace Quicken. Did you try out the program Gnucash or Gnucash? It's GNUCASH. I think it is in the Ubuntu repos. Thank you, Jonathan. And yes, Jonathan, I think I have tried. I know I have tried it about a year and a half ago. It didn't do the things that I wanted it to do. However, your email prompted me to take a look at their site again and see what's going on. And I think I may give it another shot because it looks like they've been through a couple of releases. So I'm going to give it another shot and see and let you all know all about it. So thank you very much, Jonathan.
That's out too. And also for, you know, folks who use Windows, they do now have a Windows version of Gnucash as well.
Oh, excellent. So there you go. So, open source software.
Yep.
Cross-platform.
There you go. Cool. I got another email from my friend Ted Roach down in New Hampshire. Yep. so it's like, where do I know him from? Oh, yeah. Duh. Sorry, blanked on that for a minute. Ted Roche writes, Peter, enjoying each episode of Fresh Ubuntu. Keep up the good work. I've also enjoyed the Man Page Minute segments, not just for the good content, but that I had a little credit in the evolution. Charlie Farinella and the Monad Lug group had reinstituted their Man Page of the Month segments at the Monad Lug meetings a while ago, and I had mentioned this at the Dartmouth Lake Sunapee Linux Users Group meeting. You took the idea and ran with it. The Man Page Minute was the result. I love when viral ideas spread. This is a great example of how free software communities and lugs can pass along these ideas and mutate into new media and formats. I've enjoyed the guests that you've had on Fresh Ubuntu, and I wanted to point you towards another possibility. In Toronto, www.koolu.com, that's K-O-O-L-U.com, is shipping low-power Linux machines with Ubuntu pre-installed. The Koolu is a very small form factor, and it runs at a cool 9 watts or so, depending on its configuration. We've featured them at a couple of LUG meetings, most recently the Central New Hampshire LUG meeting, where Bruce Dawson showed off several Koolu machines that he owns, including one he hacked into a dual-head configuration. The folks at Koolu have done some YouTube videos and other promotions, and I'm sure they'd enjoy the notoriety. You might want to inquire whether they'd like to come onto your show and talk why they chose Ubuntu as their distro of choice when they're doing these lean little machines with the small carbon footprints, etc. In the interest of full disclosure, I found out that about Koolu because Mad Dog, their spiritual leader of the GNH LUG, was named their CTO recently. But I have no personal financial interest in their success other than having bought one of their computers. Looking forward to future episodes, Ted. And Ted is, I think he's the president of the Greater New Hampshire Linux Users Group, the GNH LUG. I don't remember. He's up there, though.
Yeah,
but anyway, yeah, he's a bigwig. He's an important guy. He may also be an open source legend. I don't know.
We'll have him on the show.
I've actually asked him about that, and I think at the time when I asked him, he was like wondering if he had anything to contribute or had some kind of like, I don't know what I would talk about or something to that effect. But I'll ask him again.
Yeah.
But we'll have a link to his blog and his website in the show notes too, if you can check out what Ted and what he and his buddies are up to.
Well, he did say something interesting about the Koolu computer. I would like to get those guys on the show and ask them a few questions and maybe raise some awareness about the Koolu computer.
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool.
Yep, it does. I actually, just a little side note again. Last year at the Ubuntu Live conference, John Hall was there, and it was very, he actually led us to interviewing Mark Shuttleworth, and that was really cool of him. So he was there with one of those little Koolu devices, and him and Mark Shuttleworth were taking pictures with it and that kind of thing as a marketing thing. So that was kind of cool. But I did get a chance to see one, and, you know, it was a few feet in front of me, but I would like to get those guys on here and raise some awareness for Koolu if it needs some raising awareness. Actually, you know, last time I heard of it was last year, so, you know, I'd like to get them on. So if you are a Koolu developer or one of those guys, give us a ring, either at peter@freshubuntu.org or at harlem@freshubuntu.org. We'd love to have you on the show.
And maybe we can make you guys open source legends too.
Yeah. Oh boy. we might be able to help just a tiny little bit, right?
Just a tiny bit. We can give them a little push in the right direction. You know? So. I also got another email from Jonathan, and I wanted to cover that here because it was kind of timely. Jonathan wrote back and said, I was wondering if your Blue Snowball works with Ubuntu. And I wrote back to him 3 days ago, yes, it does. And I have to admit that right now we're running on Windows. I'm recording this on Windows because my Blue Snowball was throwing fits and it was not working with Skype. So I don't know if I've got to go in and tweak some more settings. But Harlem, what did you say I sounded like?
You sounded like God, you know, that voice in the sky, deep and foreboding.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And this is bad?
Yeah. Well, it all depends on how you look at it.
Okay. And do you speak with God frequently? Do you hear his voice a lot?
Every so often, yeah. Okay. Yeah, of course.
Okay. I just want to make sure we have a good frame of reference here. So. Okay. got a couple
sounded,
of notes.
Sounded like you were getting ready to part the Red Sea there. You know,
yeah, so. Well, you know, you got to keep. I limit myself to one miracle a week. Jeez, I'm terrible. Tweet Jeebus is going to be getting on my case, I can just tell. A quick little note from our pal Cafe Ninja. The reason, remember he was having all those troubles emailing me back when I first set up my email address and I wasn't getting any feedback?
Yeah.
Apparently he was misspelling Ubuntu when he was trying to send them to me.
Oh, yeah, that happens often.
Yeah, so that was why. Yeah. So anyway, so for anyone else out there who has a problem, it's UBUNTU.
Right.
Ubuntu.
Six letters. Thank you. Yep. Three of them are U's.
Yes, lots of U's.
I think he got the U's right. I think he left out a T or something like that. But
Ubuntu, Ubuntu.
now that we know, you're going to get a ton of email.
I can't wait. Okay, my servers are ready to buckle under the load, I'm sure.
this morning I announced that we were going to do the recording on Gizmo, and we were. We honestly were, and I think we should give it a try just so that the listeners will know our experience with it. Chad Wallenberg over at the Linux Basement podcast tweeted a reply to me. He said, "Cool, man, let us know how the recording turns out." And also Michael Ram said the same thing, said something about Skype and Gizmo working together, or are they separate protocols? Just to take Michael's question first, or statement or whatever, Skype and Gizmo are two separate things, two separate protocols.
Very separate.
Right. And although both voice over IP, Skype is a little more proprietary, where
totally,
Gizmo...
Totally yep. proprietary.
Where Gizmo uses open source SIP protocols.
Correct.
And Chad, we didn't, it turns out we didn't do the recording. And one reason for that is because we were having technical difficulty with microphones and that kind of thing. And also, I found out that the recording for Gizmo only records at 8 kilohertz, at an 8 kilohertz sampling rate.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I mean, I don't know too much about it, but apparently it's at 8 kilohertz. It's like a telephone call.
It is. It's just about like a phone call.
Yeah. Yeah. So nowhere near the quality of a what we're using right now. But I think we should still do one just so that our listeners and of course ourselves can get a feel for what's the differences between the two.
Yeah, that's the recording portion, but the audio quality of Gizmo, if your bandwidth is there, it's, you know, I found it to be just as good as Skype. It's,
right.
You know, so.
Yeah, yep. You're absolutely right. They are very similar in audio quality, right? Yep. So there.
Let's see. How much did you get any more? I think I had one more feedback.
I'm done with most of mine.
Oh, I am cleaning up today. This is awesome.
My
fans, I love you all right? and just sneaking in right under the wire about an hour ago, Randy, the Nose 100 tweeted at me and said, and I quote, "Woot!" What? That's it. That's what he said.
Randy, thanks a lot for that, Randy.
He said woot.
Oh, I'm surprised he didn't call that one in, you know.
Have you checked your voicemail?
Yeah, I have. I've been keeping an eye on that, though.
So. Oh, okay.
If you want to follow Randy, if you aren't already following him, he's at twitter.com/thenose100, and you know, really cool guy. So give him a chance. You know.
Yeah, he and Wired Pig were bantering back and forth the other day. It was actually kind of scary, but very interesting. Yeah. My final last bit of feedback, it's semi-automated and stuff, but I'd like to point out that Chris from the Linux Action Show is now following yours truly, the Pulse of Ubuntu, on Twitter. So, I say the Linux Action Show is definitely one of my favorite podcasts, definitely one of my favorite Linux podcasts, and I'm very flattered to be followed by one of the hosts, so... Excellent. Chris apparently just got onto Twitter a couple of days ago, and I'm one of the first people he followed. But
wow.
If you want to follow Chris, I'm going to, you know, plug them a little bit too. He's at twitter.com/ChrisLAS, as in Linux Action Show. And I'm going to try to get them on the show. I would like to interview Chris and Brian. I think that would be a fun time.
That would be awesome. That'd be great. Yep. Let's
but they're probably too big, you know. They're gonna say like, "Who the heck are you? You just talk about Ubuntu. You're no good." I don't know. We'll find out.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it pans out. So,
and with that, I think I'm out of content.
Okay, cool. Well, that's gonna do it for us this week. Is that right? I'm gonna wrap the show.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm out.
All right.
I'm bushed. Well, the coffee's starting to wear off. I'm tired.
All right. Well, that's going to just about do it for us this week. Just some final words for me. You can take a look at the show notes at freshubuntu.org. If you want to email us, you can email us at, I'll give you Peter's first, peter@freshubuntu.org. That's Ubuntu with a T. And harlem@freshubuntu.org. And you can also try our old email address, freshubuntu@gmail.com. So,
let me ask, Harlem?
Yeah.
Any last words?
Yes, a couple of things. Music was provided by Iota Promenet, and that's going to do it for me. My jaw is getting tired, man.
And don't forget, music also provided by Scott McGrath.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Scott McGrath, our theme song writer extraordinaire. Thank you very much, Scott. And that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks for joining us.
This record comes with a hit warranty. Guaranteed to please.